Helps if I turn the microphone on. Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be able to open up God's word, pause for the afternoon, and see what he has to say. Very warm welcome to you, whether you're watching live or you're watching afterwards on video or audio recording. It's great to be able to open up God's word. And if you've got your Bible, we'll be turning to the letter of Jude once more. If this is your first time listening in, we've been working our way through Jude and, well, actually quite a few of the epistles, and we find ourselves in Jude at the moment. So if you've got your Bible, we'll turn to Jude, and we're going to be looking at 8 to 10. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word which you have given us, that we might know you, that we might treasure you. We pray, Lord, that as we turn to your word this afternoon and look at it, that you would bless it to us, that we might know you, love you, that we might be satisfied in you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jude 8 to 10. Yet, in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Well, I wonder if we should just deal with the pink elephant in the room straight away. I'm sure most of you, and myself included, would be wondering, what is this story about Michael the angel? I don't remember reading that in the Old Testament. Do you? Do you remember reading? Do you remember the story? I wonder if you remember the story about Moses, okay? Moses dies up on the mountain, and the Old Testament tells us in Deuteronomy that Moses gets buried, that God buries Moses, and no one knows where his body is. Okay, so that's the Old Testament story. We get here, and Jude says that apparently there was an argument between Satan and the archangel Michael. But that story is not in our Old Testament. That's kind of the pink elephant in the room, isn't it? What on earth is this, and where did it come from? Well, interestingly, there's some sort of similar stories in what we call apocalyptic Jewish literature. But nothing really that fits this exactly. There's people who have written about the person that wrote about this. In other words, people have talked about this as an idea, but we don't, it's not like we have a Jewish writing with this written in it that Jude's quoted from. So there's probably a couple of things going on. One is, I think my gut instinct looking at it and looking at the information, having looked through some commentaries and stuff like that, my gut instinct is it's probably one of, I guess, the handed down stories in the Jewish people. So you know how this works. There's just certain stories that in your culture and in your context and amongst your people group that everybody tells, that everybody passes down. And my gut instinct is it's probably one of those that at some point, somewhere along the lines, somewhere this story has come from, and it's just been handed down, and it's been rolled out, and it's been told amongst the people. Now, we can't be sure. We can't be sure where exactly it comes from. Whether it happened or not, does that matter? Doesn't matter if it happened or not. Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Now, the question that raises is, since it's written in the Bible, does that mean it has to be, I'm just thinking about how I want to word this. Okay, let me word it differently by addressing a different subject. Okay, think about Job, okay, the book of Job. Now, there's three friends and there's Job. Now, the three friends say a whole bunch of false things, don't they? Yep, there's a whole bunch of things which they say which are untrue. They say things about God which are untrue. Yet it's recorded in the Word of God. Now, because it's recorded in the Word of God, does not mean that what they say is true. Okay? I wish I could see you so I could know if you were tracking with what I'm saying. But just think about it this way, okay? Throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, people say things that are lies, okay? Now, God's word is true, and God's recording of it is true, but that doesn't mean the content of it is true. Now, if we think about this passage here, did the devil and Michael the angel have an argument about whether the body of Moses, where the body of Moses was stored? Well, the truth is we don't know. From other literature, we don't know from the Old Testament if this happened or not. We don't know from Jewish literature if this happened or not. But Jude records it as a reality, doesn't he? He records it in with all of the different history parts. In verse 5 to 7, he uses a whole bunch of stories. He says, this is what happened. This is what happened. This is what happened. In verse 8 to 10, he says, this is what happened. And in 10 and onwards, we're going to get some more, this is what happened. So though we can't verify it based off other material, I think the context leans in the fact that this is a true account of what happened. Now, if someone was to ask me to prove that this happened, what would I have to point to? This is what I would point to. So my support for that is the fact that God's word is true. Now, let's stick with the simple fact. God has stated in the letter of Jude that the angel Michael and the devil argued about the body of Jesus. When, where, how, evidence for that actually doesn't matter. Because God stated in his word through Jude that that's true. And so we'll leave it at that. Pink elephant in the room. It's not in the Old Testament. But that doesn't neglect the truthfulness of it. It's here. And the question is not how and where and what. The real question is, what do we learn from it? What's Jude trying to point? See, it's an illustration for Jude to try and drive home a point. So what's the point? Well, yesterday we saw that there were these sinful men who were going to undergo judgment. And we saw that the people had to be patient and contend for the faith because eventually judgment would come on the evildoers. And now we see the reality of their sin. So in verse 8, he says that relying upon their dreams, these people defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. So in the same way that there were three examples of judgment, in the same way that there were three types of blessing, in the same way that there were three types of people or names that we were called by, now we see three types of sin that these people are committing. And really, it's almost a reiteration of what we've seen already about these people, and that is that they promote sinfulness, so they defile the flesh, so they're promoting sinfulness, they're rejecting authority. Now, interestingly, the word used for authority there is normally used to speak about human authority, but given back at verse 4 that we saw that they were rejecting the authority of Christ, it probably makes more sense to see Jude referring back to that again. So it's this stress again that they are, rather than submitting to Christ and walking in Christliness, instead they're putting Christ's authority off and they're defiling their flesh. But not only are they defiling the flesh, not only are they rejecting the authority of Christ, but they're blaspheming the holy ones. And you're like, whoa, blaspheming the holy ones? That's a bit bizarre. Yeah, it is a bit bizarre. It is for us because we don't talk in these categories, do we? As Westerners, we don't use this type of language. It's a little bit like blessings and cursings. We don't deal with that type of vocabulary. So it's a struggle for us to get our heads around. But the importance is not on the details of what it means to blaspheme authorities, to blaspheme the glorious ones. The point is that they have become a law and a rule unto themselves. So that's been Jude's point, isn't it? They've rejected the authority of Christ. They're defiling the flesh. In other words, I can do what I want. I'm the boss. I can do what I want. They're blaspheming the holy ones. Why? Because I'm the boss. I'm in charge. I'm the authority. I'm the master. Christ is not. And then he uses this story of Michael to illustrate the sinfulness of their behavior. Michael and the devil have an argument about the body of Christ. Sorry, not the body of Christ. Body of Christ isn't at the grave. That would be a pointless argument. They have an argument about the body of Moses and where it is and the story and what's going on and things like this. And the angel, Michael, says what? He doesn't say, I rebuke you. Now think, Michael, the archangel, he's sinless. Yet he doesn't say, I rebuke you. I've read the Old Testament. I know the truth. No, he says, the Lord rebuke you. But what does that help us see? It helps us see that even Michael, though he is perfect, though he is sinless, I should say, though he is one of the head angels, yet even he doesn't hop out from under his authority and pronounce condemnation upon the devil, but rather he leaves judgment to God. He recognizes who he is and he leaves the judgment to the hands of God. But these men, Jude says in verse 9 and 10, these men blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Now, when he says they understand instinctively, he's not saying they know. He's basically saying they're brute beasts. They've got no idea what they're doing. They think they're acting in authority. They think they're acting in power. They think they're acting in strength. But they're actually acting in ignorance, like an untrained beast who has no idea what he is doing. He's just acting based purely out of instincts. And so, rather than submitting themselves to godly authority, rather than submitting themselves to God's word, rather than acting as becomes a child of God, they are rejecting everything God's given them. They're rejecting everything God's given them. And instead, they're taking the authority upon themselves and running around pronouncing judgment, even upon heavenly beings. In other words, we are so powerful, we are so authoritative that we don't need to listen to Christ, we don't need to listen to angels, because we are the authority. And what were they basing it on? You remember back in verse 8? They're basing it upon their dreams and visions. In other words, we've seen the truth. We know the truth. We've got the insight. You don't need the word. You don't need Christ's leadership. What you need is me and my insight, because I'm an expert. And I wonder if you've heard that in different places before. I was watching a video of, I won't use the name. I was watching a video of a preacher last night, just a short little clip. And in this clip of about 15 minutes long, he stated that all the other believers were wrong. But he knew the truth, and everyone else was wrong. You know, just the sheer arrogance to be able to say that I am the one with the true understanding. That's what these men were doing. We have the understanding. That's what these men and women were doing. We have the insight. We have the understanding. Listen to us. We will show you the way. And so there's a few lessons there briefly for us to learn. Firstly, we need to be very, very aware of what I like to term spiritual elitism. So spiritual elitism is when you walk into a church, and in that church you can sense that there's certain people that are the authority on all matters. They have the insider information. They're the ones who you need to seek counsel from. They're the ones that you need to gain approval from. They're the ones that you need to gain permission from. They're the ones everybody goes to. And it's not because they're godly and Christ-like. It's because of who they are. because of their time in the church, you know, and you just need to be very, very wary of spiritual elitism in the church. Secondly, we in humility, we actually really need to recognize who we are. Think about the angel, Michael. He recognized who he was. He recognized he was a servant of God, and therefore he didn't have the right to pronounce judgment upon the devil. That was the Lord's business. And we need to be similar. We need to recognize who we are as slaves of Christ, as children of God, recognize our place, recognize how we've been saved, recognize who God is. And rather than taking what is not ours, we need to give it back to God. You know, it's God's place to do this. It's God's place to judge the wicked, not mine. And then lastly, I think one huge lesson we can learn from this is that we really need to rely upon God. And we just see that from Michael. You know, even right there in that heated moment, Michael says, "The Lord rebuke you." And I think that's a really good lesson for us. You see, these people that had snuck into the church, they were not relying upon God. They were relying upon themselves. We need to rely upon God. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, but God's authority. We need to submit ourselves to Him and follow Him all the time. And we do that by putting ourselves under the Word, don't we? Because that's how He's spoken. And in putting ourselves under the Word, we begin to be transformed into the image of Christ. And we begin not to defile the flesh, but to become Christ-like. Not to reject authority, but to submit to Christ's authority. Not to blaspheme the Holy Ones, but to come under the authority of God and act as we should. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. There are hard passages in the Bible, and this is surely one of them. And we pray that you'd help us to understand them. If there's anything that came out of my mouth really confusing or odd, I just pray that you'd help that to be forgotten, and that the truth of your word would come to bear upon our hearts and souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in again. It's been great to spend some time together. Just a wee reminder, if you ever have a question from one of our daily devotions, feel free to message it through to me or flick an email through on the email that'll pop up on the screen in a minute, and we can talk about it on one of the daily devotions. Otherwise, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another daily devotion. Have a most blessed evening and afternoon. God bless. If I can ever find the end button.